Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about podcast to YouTube, I suppose, breakthrough. I've just spent a few hours, it must have been, let's see what the time is now, 3 hours-ish, just slowly hacking away until I'm up to a point where I stick in my dictaphone, whatever it is I've got here in front of me, and put it in the computer. It comes up, it asks a few questions about what the podcast is about, and it goes off and promotes almost to publishing the podcast, putting it onto Blogger et al. I'm actually really freezing cold here. It's really cold, windy day up here in Australia. And it's gone through and produces a whole raft of video files with the a title picture on, which I tried to get an iconic title picture. Oh, I've got a sore back from sitting down for so long. The video file and the text goes over the top. So there's been a few struggle points. So that's in a, you know, gets it put into a directory, cleaned up directory. And then you jump the entire directory into YouTube uploading. So then it goes to load. You've got to really watch these sorts of things to get the actual time that the actual applications are running fairly small. And so, I don't know, probably it'll take a minute to do 12 long podcasts, or no, 2 minutes perhaps, to actually cast together and publish them and send them up to Blogger, and possibly, just trying to figure it out, probably 20 minutes, half an hour for it to convert the audio files. This is several long audio files across, and then it will take possibly, I'd shudder to think, possibly 3 hours, 2 hours to upload it to YouTube. So you don't want your application running for 3 hours, sitting on the back of your computer, you can't sit. G'day. G'day, mate. It's freezing out here. So just go through. It's amazing how there's these little things which just really trip you up. So one of the things I did was took a core iconic image of myself talking, and then I converted it to using PaintNet to sort of an artistic rendering of it. So there's colours that looks a bit like a comic drawing, although that's a photograph. And then I went through a series of processes to flatten the image out into a linear process, and then reconstruct it into a picture format. Now, I really don't know what the picture format corresponds to. It's a raw data format, and you can actually, once it's in a picture format, you can actually command individual pixels to different colours, and so it's a fairly simple process to overlay a comment title. It's a comment title for the YouTube. This is on the picture, because if you just have a picture up there, people want to, I suppose, know what it's about. And so the actual picture should have a little bit of text on it. I don't know. Perhaps I've got the text too small. I'll have to think about it. Yeah, and the picture, for some reason, it's in the picture stuff, it looks fine. It's just when it gets re-rendered back into JPEG. I'll see if I could re-render it back into PNG or something like that. For some reason, it's not rendering beautifully back, so it's really pretty dodgy. What it's going, I think the JPEG process doesn't work with it well. And so in order to do that, there's a picture in the robotics software. It's called a picture, and with all sort of I don't know, programs, subroutines, software things, particularly if they're in Xbox or that they're in a container. So the picture is itself a container, sort of like a container with just a picture, but you could have a container with a Word document, a container with, so a robotics control, you know, a robot, you could, yeah, well, that's how I did the robots. So I just put the robots in containers and then fed the containers commands and methods. So a container has a reference. So you can say, a reference is just a name of the container. You know, so you've got a container, rather than wire it all around, you can just have something called a reference. And the reference goes into two types of processes, which are drop-down menus. One is, it's a bit hard to describe. One is it's called properties, so where you feed properties to the actual device or the actual thing, and the other one's methods. And methods is sort of a higher level thing which actually picks things out of the container. So the methods up at the container level, the software control. So the properties actually go down and actually manipulate the stuffs inside the container, whereas methods actually look at the container from the surface. And so I think this, I've really forgotten what the four, there's always only four methods, but the properties can actually vary with, you know, anything. You can send basically anything methods to it. So this is a fundamental way to control anything, is the properties and methods. But the methods here, I just use the method of getImage. So I did my canvas, and then I got the image, and then I read that to a JPEG. Now, what was happening was that for some reason, I'd send a text to be written on the image, and everything would look right. But when I got it up and running, I have it housed in Dropbox, so it's automatically backed up, and I can run it on several computers. So if it's in Dropbox, it just means that if everything's in Dropbox, and it's an executable in Dropbox, although you have to install every program that you sort of siphon off, you have to reinstall, it just means that you can copy this across, you know, a large number of computers, and then set the computers up mothering each other, so if one falls over, the next one steps in. So it's a really basic way. But I had suffered this dreadful thing, sort of eye-watering problem of it just not working first time, and so I picked up that some process was happening too fast, and it wasn't actually getting the text data. When you tested it, it worked, but when you left it alone to operate by itself, something was happening in a different order, and I hadn't locked it down. And so I was thinking that I hadn't deleted and cleaned the file it was writing to in sufficient time to go across. So I put a second delay in there, but eventually I cracked what it was, in that the reference, I didn't know this, so to run a method, you know, a methods can be run anywhere, because the method relates to an application which is inside the computer. So it's so the reference is just saying what application you're using. Now, what you had to do is call the ensure that the reference was called, I have to remember now, before, yeah, called well before the actual the actual reference was activated, the method was activated. So what happened is that the reference would be called, be making its way up to this region. It would use its original reference from the last running, and so using its original reference, I don't know how it does this, it actually called up old data and put it over. So that's a long story. I cracked that, and then linking it across such that it takes the title from the podcast as the title of the YouTube, creating an extra little container in the I've got a cluster, putting another cluster variable in and cleaning that up so the title goes cross, and the image is just, was going to be fantastic. It's just a bit woeful at the moment, but another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.